Our scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. That would be 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll be reading beginning at verse 23. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for your word written. We thank you for your word demonstrated in Jesus Christ, and we thank you that your Holy Spirit accompanies your word to make it come alive in our hearts and our minds and our wills. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would move this day in us, that we would have a strong sense of your presence. We thank you that you reveal yourself by your Holy Spirit not only in the Word, but also in the sacrament. So as we partake in the sacrament this day, we pray again that your Holy Spirit would accompany that, that we would sense the nourishment that comes from your Spirit at work within us, that we would be strengthened for your service, that we would be strengthened in our love for you, in our relationship with you, and in our passion for you. We pray all of this confidently because we know that your Spirit is at work, and we know that the barrier between ourselves and you has been broken down through Jesus Christ. So we ask that you generously pour your Spirit into this place, into this people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of Christ. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup, for those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning in regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give you further directions. Paul is addressing a couple problems that the church at Corinth is experiencing. He begins, "Am I not on? I was loud enough. I thought I was hearing myself. How about now?" We'll get there. Now? Yeah. It's clear. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Paul is addressing a couple of problems in the Corinthian church. He's writing this letter to commend them for some things they're doing well and to tell them what they're not doing very well, and communion is the thing they're doing the least well. And if you look a little bit ahead in this passage, around verse 17 and then into verse 20 particularly, it says, you come with your own private suppers. In other words, they had a problem. I think the biggest problem they had was that the potluck meal had not yet been invented. So everyone brought their own food. The wealthy people brought really good food, and the poor people brought scraps, and the wealthy people ate their really good food in front of the poor people, and the poor people ate their scraps or nothing in front of the wealthy people who were gorging themselves. The wealthy people brought good wine as well and would drink so much of their own wine that they would get drunk. Paul says, this is not the Lord's table. This is not how this works. For when you gather together at the Lord's table, it is not like the rest of the time you live on this earth. This is a very special time. This is a time that you gather with your sisters and brothers in Christ. It's the time when the ground is level. We all know that the ground is level at the foot of the cross, but this table illustrates that better than most anything else. So they failed to acknowledge each other. They failed to acknowledge that Christ was at work in each other. They also failed to acknowledge that God was at work. This sacrament was instituted by Jesus Christ. And in instituting this sacrament, Jesus said, "This is a very special occasion." It is an occasion when the Holy Spirit will minister to the people of God. And when you come to the Lord's table, don't treat it just like another thing to do. Do not treat this bread as only physical bread and this cup as only physical juice, but acknowledge the spiritual nature of this table. And when you come to the sacraments, acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is active in the sacraments to nourish us in communion, to claim us in baptism. And this problem, I think, happens all the time within the church. We are the things that we set up that we're going to do, whether it be in worship or in committee meetings or at this table, are all with the goal of connecting us with God. And yet, we can fall into that trap over and over again of failing to see God in what we're doing and failing to seek God in what we're doing. And in really just going through the motions of something that should be deeply spiritually meaningful without any spiritual connection. So in this passage, Paul helps the church at Corinth to understand that they must acknowledge the body of Christ in each other and acknowledge the body of Christ and the physical body of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. So how do we receive the sacrament? It says in verse 29, those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. Now, when I was a kid, I heard this passage. My sister tells the story of one time the pastor speaking on this passage about you'll get sick if you don't take the sacrament in a worthy manner. And she went home and she got sick and she was very concerned. What did I do wrong? How did I not take the communion rightly? It could be that she just caught a bug from someone else at church or something. But this passage makes you wonder, well, what is it that I could do that God would discipline me or punish me for not taking this table, the elements correctly? There are some churches that fence the table, making sure that you go through a certain process of cleanliness, spiritual cleansing before you can come to the table. Many sit in the worship service, and when the elements come, are trying to list every sin that they could have possibly committed so that the sickness and falling asleep, which means death in the Bible, don't happen to them. And yet, the commentators say that's not what Paul is talking about. It's not that we come to this table only after making ourselves morally acceptable to God. The failure to recognize the body of Christ at this table is the failure to recognize what Christ has done for us. To say, come to this table and be nourished in your weakened spirit, is offering food to the hungry. To say, don't come to this table until your spirit is strong enough, is like telling someone who's dying of starvation, when you get this little starvation thing worked out, we have a meal for you to share. It makes no sense. To recognize the body of Christ at this table is to acknowledge what he has done for us, to come to the table humbly, not carrying with us all of our victories over sin, not carrying with us our sense of moral superiority over anybody else, or even over how we were the week before. Because it's not about me. It's about the Lord and what the Lord has accomplished for me. So when we come to the table, we come humbly. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge the importance of living by God's standards, of living lives that acknowledge God's goodness and God's righteousness. But it does mean that we don't measure our acceptance by God by how well we do. This table is for the weak. This table is for the broken. And the way to not recognize the body of Christ in this table is to make it about yourself and not the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. The other thing to acknowledge in the body of Christ, which we all know has at least two meanings. One is the physical body of Christ that he sacrificed on our behalf on the cross. The other is the body of Christ, that is the people of Christ gathered. And on World Communion Sunday, we acknowledge this in a very special way. We say we are the body of Christ with people all around the world. And not just all around the world geographically, but all around human existence temporally. We come as brothers and sisters came to this table 1,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago. The people in Corinth. 1,900 or so years ago. And we come with people from around the world of all different socioeconomic statuses, of all different colors, of all different nationalities. And we demonstrate the restored body of Christ that is the church. Rich and poor, Americans and Africans, and Chinese and Russians and Pakistanis, and the list goes on, are part of the body of Christ. There is no place at the Lord's table for classism. There is no place at the Lord's table for nationalism. There is no place at the Lord's table for racism. There is no place at the Lord's table for anything that separates one part of the body of Christ from another. One of my very favorite little snippets of a movie comes from the 1984 movie Places in the Heart, and I'm going to tell you the very last scene. And I figure, spoiler alerts probably wear out after 30 years or so, I can tell you the end of a 1984 movie. But in Places in the Heart, it's a movie with Sally Field, and it's set in the Depression era, and her husband is killed. And an African-American man comes to the town, and he saves her farm by doing the work in the field. And the town, of course, has some judgments to be made about whether this is appropriate or not for this man to help this woman. But the closing scene of Places in the Heart is in a place like this. It's in a church. And the pastor preaches a sermon, and the choir starts to sing. And then the communion plate is passed. And at first we see the family that we've been watching during the church service as the plate is passed from family member to family member, and then the plate is passed farther back within the church, and we see what at that time in that place would have been a radical thing. We see that plate passed to the African-American man who helped Sally Field in the fields. And then the plate continues to be passed, and then we see it passed to her husband who had been killed. The last frame of the movie is the plate passed from the husband who had been killed to the young man who killed him. And the young man who killed him says, "The peace of God." We are gathered with those who have gone before us. We are gathered with those who are different from us. And at this table, we gather with those who have wronged us, because that is the power of Jesus Christ. That is the power of the work of Jesus Christ to bring his church together. Let us not forget the body of Christ as we come to this table, the body of Christ which unites us to God. Let us not forget the body of Christ as we come to this table, the body of Christ which unites us to each other. And as we come to this table, let us anticipate the movement of the Holy Spirit to nourish us in faithfulness. The presence of the Holy Spirit to unbreak that which is broken within us, within ourselves, and within our relationships. For the Holy Spirit is here. And we come to receive what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Amen.